stand at our feet and we'll sing one more before the pastor comes this evening. 3, 5, 6. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's watching and waiting, or waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. It says, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me.
Let it happen, then the enemy was saying to me, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that. Everything Keith preached on Thursday night, the devil made me live it the next few days. What are you going to do? And the old man would have planned what he would do. Let's be honest about it. And you know yourself what I'm like. There's no half measures. It's all or nothing. But you have to let that go. And you just have to give it all to the Lord. And it's hard sometimes because I see him and his family and everything. And a couple of cards. I don't want to go into detail, but God knows all about it. But I want you to pray for wee Matthew and his family. That the Lord will save them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to try and bring some messages. You know, we're coming to Easter. You maybe see that we're coming to Easter. Easter's all about a time where we think of the Lord and the resurrection. And I know I'm guilty myself. I've complained when some preachers hasn't preached anything about things like that when it's Easter. So I'm going to preach about it. And just trust maybe the Lord will give you something that maybe you haven't seen before. And I know I've preached these things before. And I tell my wife, I had so many sermons that I spent a long time preparing years ago on all these different things. And they're all gone. Some of them maybe in the roof space, but I had one of these tablets before, and I don't know what happened, but she crashed or done something, and the whole lot goes away. So I've had to spend time to get these things all together again, different scriptures and different things. So, but maybe God did that deliberately to get me to rehearse it all again. It's hard to remember things, isn't it? You know what I mean? I'm not just as young as I used to be, so I have to write down stuff or else I'd forget. I was telling her sister the night coming in, I know her name, but I keep forgetting it every time she comes. And she's passed me then, and I'm thinking, what's her name, what's her name? And I know the name, and then the name comes to me, but it's too late. But the Lord bless each one tonight, praise God. Isn't God good? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew. And I want tonight to talk about the dividing of the veil. Now, it's not important how the word's spelled, but some people spell it V-A-I-L and some people spell it V-E-I-L. And it can be spelled either way, but that's not really important. But thank God for the removing of the veil. Thank God for the removing of the veil. And this is really the whole key of it, is the removing of the veil. But let's turn to Matthew 27, verse 51, and then I'll read you an Exodus. But I'll read you Matthew, it's just one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer again, and praise God. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord and I'll remember you in prayer. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Maybe somebody that'll hear this message and you have a need. God can do something for you as well as you hear the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for the word of God, for the word of truth. And we heard this morning we're sanctified by your word, for your word is truth. And we know your word cleans us and purifies us. And Father, I pray you'll clean us and purify us afresh tonight. And may the Holy Spirit come into this very room. Lord, I know that God's everywhere, but I pray for a sense of your presence in this building tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I ask you for the hands that's raised in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll meet every single need and answer prayer. Pray for those that's here, that you'll bless them and their families. And those that couldn't be here tonight, bless them and their families. And Lord, I think of my wee sister and her whole family circle. You know everything. Lord, even the secret prayers Pray you'll intervene, Lord Jesus. And for Matthew and his family, will you save them, Lord? Break in on them and save them. And give thyself all the praise and glory. Pray for all our sons and daughters and loved ones. Save every one of them. And Father, for a man or a woman listening in tonight that needs your touch, Father, I'm asking you for the touch of God on them. In Jesus' precious name, grant wisdom to those that need wisdom, guidance to those that need guidance. Bless and have your way. Bless Carl and David away over in Australia as well. And Lord, for Simon and Sandra as they prepare to go, bless them and guide them. Have your way in all of our lives as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. Bind the enemy tonight. Spoil his goods. Bring them to naught. And may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now we know that when we look at the cross, and I mentioned it last week, so many miracles, and this is a miracle that I want to talk about tonight. This indeed is a miracle. And there's so many miracles at Calvary. The darkness in the day was a miracle. The earthquake is a miracle. The resurrection is a miracle. All miracles, really what happened at the cross, were miracles that could be seen by the public. But this miracle here tonight wasn't seen with the public. Because this miracle happened when the veil was torn from the top to the bottom in the temple. Now you have the tabernacle and you have the temple. And the tabernacle was in the times of Moses. And the temple is patterned after the tabernacle. It's basically the same. And at the time of the crucifying of Jesus, we're not working with a tabernacle in the wilderness. But the Jews at that time are working with a temple. But it's the same inside as the tabernacle. We'll have to do a whole series on it sometime and bring it all out. But this veil, it's occluded the holiest of holies. This veil was in there. And the only person that could see this veil was the high priest. And the high priest went in here, and he only went in once a year. And he couldn't go in until he'd offered a sacrifice for himself. And then for the people. And this was the Passover season, and this was the time of the atonement, and the atonement happened once a year. And only once a year could he go in. And if he went in without blood, he'd drop dead. And if he wasn't ordained priest, he'd drop dead. So this wasn't for everybody's eyes. This was a specific miracle of God. What a fact that these earthly priests, that affected others as well, and we'll look at it tonight. Exodus 26:31 says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple, scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shalt thou make it." Now I haven't time tonight, but maybe our brother here, you know, if you've never heard of these colors. There's a meaning in these colors. The blue is the Lord from heaven. The purple speaks of Christ's royalty for his king. And the white speaks of his righteousness. And the gold woven through the fabric speaks of his supreme deity. He's not just a man. He's God in Christ. He's a God-man. But the first thing I want to look at tonight is the material and the dividing. The material and the dividing. What was this veil? What did it do? What made it significant? Now, I want you to see the composition of this material. The veil was a cloth, but not just any cloth. Then its construction in the temple is detailed in Exodus 26, verse 31. Now, I won't go into it tonight because it's a long reading, but you that take scripture, you can write this down. This veil was woven, embroidered from a fabric. And it was twisted 72 plaits, 24 threads each. That's how it was made. It was 60 feet long, or 60 feet high, and 30 feet wide. And here you have it in the picture now. This is into the holy place. And this is the veil. And I want you to see the width of it and the height of it. And then I want you to see also, I want you to think, you see these curtains here. I want you to think of these curtains for a moment. And then I want you to think of this veil. This is hung up like a curtain. But now, I want you to understand this tonight. The thickness of this veil is the depth of a man's heart. So you imagine that curtain is as thick as my hand. Then I want you to think of someone else here. It was so heavy that it took 300 priests to put it up there. 300 priests. That's a lot of priests, isn't it? 300 of them. Now, that's how I want you to think of the depth of it, the width of it, the height of it, and the weight of it. And it's also worth noting that the veil, the thickness of it. Now containing the material, the work of the veil was a curtain of the holiest of holies from the rest of the temple, the tabernacle, particularly from the holy place. Now just for a moment, that maybe our brother Matthew can put the photo up of the whole tabernacle. Just I'll give you a brief on this here. So I don't know all of you have ever saw this ever before or not. Well, this is the construction God told Moses to make for the children of Israel. And you see, this is what you call the outer court. And in this outer court, you have to go through this gate at the start to get into the outer court. And the gate's upheld with four pillars, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that gate's the same colours in it, and the colours remain the same throughout. Now, I can't preach in all this at night because we wouldn't get home. But you see that covered on the top of that wee building? That's badger skins. Now, when you're looking afar off, them badger skins don't look great. They're just all badger skins. But as you peel back the badger skins, you'll see the red, which speaks of his blood. You'll see the purple, which speaks of his royalty. And you'll see the white, that speaks of his righteousness. And the blue, which speaks of the Lord from heaven. And all the beauties and all the things of Christ. And then when you go inside this structure, there's a golden wall reflecting glory. And all these things are in here. And there's a look inside. So you come from the outer, you come from the world, you come through the gate, you're in the outer court. You're in. And there's only one door in. And there's only one door into heaven. Then you come to the brass altar, which is the brass is put over the wood, because the wood speaks of his humanity and the brass speaks of God's judgment on him. And then you come to the laver, which is made for the looking glasses of the women of Israel. And when you look at it, it reflects, and the word of God reflects our sin, doesn't it? And then you go into the holy place. This is called the holy place. Now, this is the holy place, but it's not the holiest of holies. And in this holy place, you're coming from this bottom end in. On your right-hand side, you have the table of showbread, and there's 12 cakes on that table, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. On your left-hand side is seven, the menorah. The seven golden candlesticks, which represent the seven church ages. Then when you pass that, you come on down to the altar of incense. And there's a crown right round it. And there's a horn in each corner. I can't preach and tell you all about it tonight because I want to get on this. What a broad. But it's just to give you a basic outline. Now you do all that just to get to the veil, which goes into the holiest of holies. And when you go beyond the veil into the holiest of holies, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is, the mercy seat. And the angels are over it. And within it is the Ten Commandments. And within it is Aaron's rod that we know it but it. Cut off and it was put in there and it but it and it grew. You know, one of William Branham's meetings, when he's preaching about one of these things, the lilies grew on the platform. The power of God came on the platform in the meeting to signify this is the truth. And they grew. There and then. And the angels was pictured in the photographs. With them just right there, the two mighty beings. Just like this tabernacle. Isn't that wonderful? Time wouldn't permit them of the night wind at all. Exodus 26:33, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the touches, and thou mayest bring hither within the veil the ark of the testimony and the veil to divide unto them between the holiest and the holiest. Now this was all made by the pattern that God told Moses in the wilderness, which we've seen in these pictures, in all these colours. In the outer court, then the holy place, then the holiest of holies. But on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest took the blood of the sacrifice and he went into the holy place and he sprinkled the blood on the ark. And there's another scripture says he sprinkled 7 times. Now when you come to your Bible, 7 is significant. 7 seals, 7 church ages, 7 vows. 7 times sprinkled. There's all the sevens. You can preach a whole sermon just on the sevens. And the threes as well. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Water, blood, and spirit. There's so many threes. And fives. Forsaking all, I take him. Faith. But then all other things. Hebrews 9:7-8 says this. But into the second went the high priest alone every year. Not without blood. This is a place that he could not enter. This is important that you get this at the start. This is a place that the priest could not enter without blood, which he offered for himself on the errors of the people once a year. And the next year he did it again and again and again. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing. And you can read again Leviticus 16:60, but I won't. For the sake of time. And if Matthew, you can put a picture up in between if you want. And in the pictures, the most important veil we've seen it today. You see this veil also, I want to say about this veil. There's a veil here, but the veil at the start as well. You see this veil was a stop an intruder coming in. This wasn't like a wee curtain hanging here that you just brush your way through it. This thing was strong. You think of the thickness of a man's hand. That way, the depth across it is thick. And it's woven in the height of it and the weight of it. Leviticus 16:2 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. Now, Mark and me was talking about it. You've heard me saying that they tied a rope on the priest's ankles. That if he went in there and he offered wrong or did anything, a mistake, he'd drop dead and they'd pull him out. And I know there's no specific scripture that says that. But the Lord does say if somebody goes in there that's not meant to go in, they're dead. And you know, William Branham's the only man I ever heard preaching this. Doing God a service without it been his will. That's somebody that thinks they're doing something for God, but God never called them to do it. And here we see this through the whole Bible. God chooses men for different purposes, different ministries. I'm going to have to stick to it. And there's no other man can do what God's called you to do. God can special man. Now here's another thing I want you to see. The next part here is the moment of the dividing. The moment of the dividing. The moment of the dividing of the veil in the temple we'll look at in relation to two events. Firstly, it is related to the death of Christ on the cross. Secondly, it is related to the doing with the ceremony in the temple. Both Matthew and Mark show that the death of Christ on the cross happened at the time of the rending of the dividing of the veil, Matthew 27:50-51. And Mark 15:37 to 38. I'll read you from Mark. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now Luke actually reports the veil divine before he reports the death of Christ. Luke 23:45 to 46. But we know it's all at the time of Christ's death, this veil divided. The rent veil is the first event following the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first event. It must have happened just about the time when the priest entered into the holiest of holies at the evening sacrifice. And I want you to think of this evening. The priest is going in. This is the time of the atonement. Christ's on the cross. Christ is crying out. One of the seven signs of Christ at the cross. It's finished. He cries out, it's finished. And as he cries out, it's finished, that means the work's completed. The veil in the temple rents. But if you show that picture, Matt, or there's the picture up behind me here. Now you can see that last veil. Over here, this last one before the ark. It's cut back to let you see in there. I want you to imagine the size of it to do it justice. And the priest's in there, and the priest's at the wee altar of incense, and he's offering the incense. And while he's offering the incense, and this great veil's before him, Christ's on the cross. And all of a sudden, the veil's rent before him, rent it in two, in the midst, the Bible says. And the way is made in. Priest is doing his duty in the temple. This been a high day, special Passover day. It is probably Caiaphas, the high priest, performing the act, burning the incense, Exodus 27, 20 to 21. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil upon the beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto the generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Now, pause for a moment. Israel will rebuild that temple. Hear me tonight. There's lots of people looking signs, or looking this, or looking that. Well, here's a fact. This is a scriptural fact. These offerings will have to be continually. And the real Jewish people will rebuild that temple. And they say there's a mosque sitting where that temple has to go. And if there is, the mosque will have to disappear. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to do it. And they will reintroduce the red heifer. And they've specially bred the red heifer again in Israel. They're all sitting ready. And the menorah, they say the menorah is in the Church of Rome. But they have it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. And that ark was found as well. You ever hear of Ron Wyatt? Ron Wyatt's a man that found the chariot wheels when they crossed over the Red Sea. He found them, the divers found them, and they weren't made public for years, and they tried to discredit it. And they discredited that much, even Christians discredited it. That there was another man, and God moved in him in a dream. And he sent him to the same spot that Ron White was. And he redone it again. And he found him. And he's all the evidence. All the evidence to prove what everything this Bible says is absolutely the Word of God. Leviticus 24, verse 3 to 4. I won't read it, but you can mark it down. You see, for them candlesticks are, and there's your golden altar of incense just before that veil. That first biggest building is the holy place. The smaller building is the holiest of holies. Now, in that holiest of holies, the Shekinah glory of God would come down. And when the Shekinah glory of God come down, no man could minister. And you know the times of Moses, when the Shekinah glory came down, nobody could minister. And you know, in one time, those that spoke against Moses, his own wife, God was going to strike, smite her clean off. She took all and everything, and Moses had to pray for her. Moses had to pray for the people as well. He was God to them, and Aaron was his prophet. That's what God said when he met him up on that mountain. What a sign. 2 Chronicles 2 verse 4, Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever for Israel. Now you know the end time God's prophet, William Branham, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I believe it with all my heart. He said when they rebuild that temple and they're going to make a pact, Israel is going to make a pact with a man of peace, which will be the Pope. They're going to make a pact and there's going to be a world peace and a one world order, and it's going to all come about. And I'll tell you what, when all these things happen, the bride of Jesus Christ getting took out, we're going home. We're going to the rapture, catch it up. We're going. This whole thing's already on. The whole thing's in place, happening before us. These wars and everything, it's all God's ordaining to do it. Can you just think for a moment, think of the noise. This veil renting, the noise of it. I believe God ripped that thing clean right before that priest. It would have been noise, it would have been loud. I'll guarantee you he was in shock. I don't know what he was holding in his hands at the time. If he's putting incense on or whatever he's doing, I'll guarantee he dropped it. Did you ever get shocked? Did you ever see people pulling the prank and somebody's a cup in the hand, someone in the hand, something happens all of a sudden and everything goes flying, you're up. You ever get shocked? Well, I'll tell you, this high priest got shocked. God rent this thing clean in two. Acts 6 and 7 says, And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and many a priest believed and became to faith. Many of them priests believed because the priests that were in there ministering saw it. They saw that it happened. And many of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now I've got to go on. I want you now to see the manner of the dividing. Matthew 27, verse 51. It's a scripture again. And the word says, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This is a divine manner. The rending of the veil was a divine miracle. It certainly could not have been done by man. The miraculous can be seen in the fact that it was rent from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom up, but from the top down. If you're going to tear a cloth or anything with your hands, you will go from the bottom up. That's the weakest part. But God rent it the hardest way. Proving it's God. And the thickness of it, I'll guarantee you the 300. You could have put horses in this thing, literally. And the horses at each end of this, a team of horses couldn't have tore this apart. This was so strong. You know, I'm sure Brother John here and Bobby, I know what I'm talking about. But you know, on a building site, you have like a cloth. Things for lifting. With a digger or machine. Straps. And we have straps at work. And they're proof to lift so many ton. And I've seen fellas lifting the diesel bars are full of diesel. I don't know what it would weigh. 30 ton with a strap. Just one strap. Now I want you to multiply that into this veil. That's how strong this thing is. The way it's woven and twisted 72 times. The strength in it. Think of an ordinary old cord even. If you get a cord that's not that strong, then put it 3 times and try and break it, you'll not do it. This is a miracle of God. This veil was torn apart. We've already shown the strength of the veil, the thickness of man's hand. And God rent it from the top to the bottom. Now here's a word. Here's a word. This is an old word. Divulgent manner. It was rent in a divulgent manner. I like this word. That may just tore clean open and everything for me. It's unclosed, opened up, revealed. What was hidden is now revealed. Luke 23:45, when the sun was dark in the veil, the temple was rent in the midst, clean in the midst. This veil was rent in two equal pieces as well. This word I'm using, divulging, means to reveal or disclose. Now I want you to see in this picture here this evening, and brother, that's a good picture, brother. And he has it up tonight. When this veil was rent, think of you're standing in front of it, and it's rent. And you could never before see into the holiest of holies. You couldn't go in there. You couldn't see in there. And that's the place where the Ten Commandments was, in the Ark of the Covenant. That's the place where the angels, as cherubims, were over, and the angels woven into this veil as well. And you can look straight in. You can look straight in. I'm going to deal with more in a moment. Luke clearly says it was rent in two pieces in the midst. This was done by God to open up the way into the holiest of holies, which had been closed. Except on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went in with blood and he went by himself. This place was only open once a year for the high priest. It was closed the rest of the time. Now here's another thing I want you to get as well. The message in this dividing. I want you to see the message in this dividing. Now in our scripture in Matthew 27:51, you'll see this word at the very beginning. And this word's often in the Bible. And behold, the veil of the temple. Now when God says behold, in Malachi 4:5-6, it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. The word behold means pay attention, look up. That's what behold means. And here the scripture said, and behold the veil. God said, look at it. Behold it. Before the word veil, and the scripture here is showing it's very important. God's performing a miracle. We need to pay attention. Now I'm going to bring out two fundamental truths here about this. The first fundamental truth, and this is doctrinal truth. Christ is now the way of salvation. As soon as God rings this veil, and as soon as the priest can look through, God from heaven is saying, the way is made for everyone. Christ is now the only way. No other way. Salvation is now through Jesus Christ alone. For by grace through faith you see him. Ephesians 2, and that not of yourselves. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This, no more ceremonial sacrifices which were set up in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, which were the figure of that which is to come. Romans 5:14 also, and Hebrews 9:13. You can look at it, we'll get that in a moment. But Christ himself took our place, and he replaced the shadow ceremonial law. This was a law that was in place, but nobody could ever be made perfect with this Old Testament law. This law was a figure, and this tabernacle in the temple was a figure of what was to come. But what was coming was greater, superior. It was no longer a shadow, but God himself coming in his Son, Christ Jesus. The rent veil is a clear message from God himself, saying all may now come into the holiest of holies. All may now come. I said before, they put a rope on the priest's ankle and he went in. And the priest, on the bottom of his garments, brother, was pomegranates and bells. Hear me this evening, are you following me? There's pomegranates and bells in the bottom of his garments. And when he went into the holiest holies, when he reached his destiny, once a year with the blood, and he couldn't go without blood, and he got to the ark, where that's the mercy seat. And he was going there for himself, and he was going there for the people. praying. And when you heard the bells ringing, you knew the priest was in. He was accepted. Everything was good. But I want you to know when Jesus Christ said it's finished, I want you to know that the bells in heaven was ringing. And God was saying, the way is clear. The way is now made. No more ceremonial laws. No more animal sacrifices. But a once for all supreme sacrifice of the ages. Christ has opened the door for every sinner. Now here's the other thing about it. This is another doctrinal fact. The ceremonial law is no longer needed. I've already said it. The rent of the veil proclaimed the termination and passing away of the ceremonial law. We are no longer under the old covenant. We are under a new covenant. Do you hear me tonight? We are under a new covenant. We don't need a priest down the road to pray for us to get us through to God, because we have a direct line ourselves with God tonight through His provided way. And His provided way is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is one way and only one, through Jesus Christ alone. Through Christ alone, by faith alone, are we saved. No other way. No other creed. There's enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. It was a sign that the old dispensation of sacrifices and ordinances was no longer needed. Its work was done. It did what it had to do to bring us to that point. All the prophets foretold of Him coming. Now when we look back, we can see the prophets all pointing to Calvary. There was no more need for an earthly high priest. In every mercy seat, and sprinkling of animals' blood and offering up of incense on the Day of Atonement. I'm almost finished tonight. Bear with me for a few more moments. Hebrews 9, verse 2 to 9. Let me read this. I love the book of Hebrews. It's one book in my Bible that I love. And I tell you, there's some stuff in the book of Hebrews. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick. And these pictures that are brothers up will make it clear for you, on the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about of gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, an Aaron's rod that buttered in the table of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. This is a real holy thing, a reverent thing. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest. While out of the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now pause in your mind for a moment. You say to me, Brother Tom, why then would the children of Israel today build this if it's no longer needed and God done away with? Because they do not see that Christ is the Messiah the way that we see Christ is the Messiah. For God deliberately blinded them that we could be saved. We were a wild branch grafted into the real branch or the real root. They're the original branch, you know that. The Jews were. And you know that this salvation's of the Jews. That's the Bible. But God is going to take the bride of Christ out and blind the Gentiles and turn back to Israel. Moses and Elijah's going to go down and preach to them. The same Holy Ghost message we heard, they're going to hear. And they're going to be sealed, brother, with the seal of God, which is the Holy Ghost. God's going to seal 144,000. I feel sorry for the Mormons there out. Them Jews is 144, not the Mormons. Praise God. Verse 9 says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, could not make him that did the service perfect as containing the conscience. So all these sacrifices and all these things they had were good. but they never could clear the conscience. Bear with me here for a moment. There's only one man that said this, when I'm going to tell you, was William Branham. He said when Jesus Christ's first blood cell broke at the cross, the very life of God was released back to the people of God. Then when we go to Romans, here's what we read. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if it quickened, that means make alive your mortal body. And the word of God says in Ephesians, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, now have he made alive, quickened together in Christ. That blood was shed on the cross. God's life, the Holy Spirit life, come out from that blood, and the Holy Spirit life comes upon the true believer. When you in faith call on the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, there is a life for that blood. It's not people talking about chemistry, but don't misunderstand tonight. There is a life behind it. I tell you, it's very real. I tell you, when we are born again, we are born again of an incorruptible seed. Liveth and abideth forever. Come with me to verse 11 and 12. We're almost finished of Hebrews 9. But Christ been coming high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. You should underline that. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Underline it. Here's why. He's not talking about this building of Solomon's or the tabernacle of Moses. But the tabernacle he's talking about is when he said, turn this temple down and in 3 days I rebuild it. He's talking about the temple that God came to. God made himself a body. Jesus was made of a woman. It's incarnation. God coming in flesh. God himself coming down, condescending, coming in flesh. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the temple we're talking about. His body. Thank God for tonight. Perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. And then I believe it even goes further. It goes right to heaven. Not made with hands. That is to say, none of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. Where did he go? A man said to me, the blood never entered heaven. Here's the scripture to prove it did. But with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Now the holy place he entered into is not Moses' tabernacle, because we were told it's not perfect. Where he went into is heaven. Perfect. What for? To appear before God for me and you. We have a someone that has went in before God with the supreme sacrifice of all ages that appeased God, that satisfied God, and that your conscience is clear because of the life in it. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 10:20, and I'm going to have to close. But you can read on down to 13 now. They're wonderful verses. But in your living way, which he consecrated for us, here it is. Hebrews 10:20. Through the veil, that's to say, his flesh. You see the tabernacle now? Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus Christ's own flesh was torn apart. They pulled the beard out of his face. They beat the crown of thorns, 4-inch thorns into his head. The blood can stream it down. Now listen to me this evening, and I'm trying to close, but it's hard. There's not many here tonight, but the Spirit of God's here. Oh, will you hear this, brother? Cain killed Abel. You know God had already cursed the ground. He was bringing forth thorns and thistles. After Adam disobeyed God, the garden, Adam and Eve, God cursed the ground. God said thorns and thistles will I bring forth. And then here we have Cain. Same mother, different father. Half brothers. And Cain rises up against Abel because Abel offered a blood sacrifice and God accepted it. Cain came with the fruit from the works of his hands. God said no. You've offered well, but that's not it. But God accepted what Abel brought. And Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood came right down onto the ground into the thorns. And Abel's blood cried from the ground, and Abel's blood cried from the thorns to the... Abel's blood had a voice. And not only did Abel's blood a voice, but Abel's blood had such a voice that God could hear that voice. And not only could God hear that voice, God answered to the blood. To the voice of the blood, God answered. And Abel's blood cried for vengeance. And we know Abel was a shepherd, but then we have Jesus on the cross. And he's a shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. And there the blood's coming from the thorns, and the thorns on his head that they put on him to mock him, it represents the curse. And the curse is represented in the crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, Galatians 3. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. But Jesus doesn't cry for vengeance. Jesus cries for mercy. And Jesus cries, one of the Simon sayings, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That's the cry of Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's vengeance, vengeance. In the New Testament, mercy, mercy, mercy. I declare tonight that our message isn't a message of vengeance, but it's a message of mercy. Well, I was touched last week. Brother Alan said how the Spirit of God moved him to forgive that man. You don't know how many people said, oh, I wouldn't have done this and I wouldn't have done that. No, but the Spirit of God never moved them. The Spirit of God moved her brother. And he didn't go and knock the door and have vengeance. He said, I forgive you. And the Spirit of God was in Jesus. And he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus Christ can save no one but sinners. Whosoever will may come. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand our feet tonight. Just listen well. God bless you. God's so good, isn't he? God is so good. Darkness in the day. 3 hours. Then hear this big veil hanging up like a curtain. Only one man got in once a year. God just ripped it clean in two. Ripped it in two and made the way clean in. Imagine we're standing here and we can't even see them back doors. And the next thing, that whole thing's pulled back. What's it mean?
God has saved you.
What's it mean? The way into the mercy seat's available for every man and every woman. That's why I pray. I thank you, Lord, I can come from your footstool, into your very throne room, into your very presence, by the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. We can come tonight. We can come right in. Every man and every woman. You'll not need no other priest. This priest here ever liveth. What's the next bit? What's the next bit?
He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints.
He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's alive tonight. And because he lives, we shall live also. Let's close our eyes tonight. If anyone wants prayer again, just slip your hand up before the Lord. But I want you to remember your loved ones. I'm going to pray again tonight. God will move them. Oh, I tell you, God can do it. deeper they're down, it's no more trouble to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that's lifted their hands in response, wanting prayer tonight, and I'm asking you to bless them and touch them. Thank you for the word of God tonight. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, if anyone will get to hear this message, the Spirit of God will reach them and touch them. And the unsaved will be saved, and the backslider will be restored. And your own people will be blessed. Bless your word to our hearts. Lord, we heard of loved ones this morning, and it's on hearts near and dear to us. Lord, we claim every single one of them. We pray when the rapture goes, may the circle not be broken. May we be fit to say like the jailer, ye and your house shall be saved. May we have household salvation. Granted a prayer tonight. Have your way in the meetings that lay ahead. Touch and bless, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those sick still, I ask you for mercy and grace, you'll touch them. Pray for we sister, keep her safe, watch over her. The old enemy would raise his head. But we thank you this evening, Lord, that you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. Father, raise up a mighty standard tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, accept our thanks and praise tonight. We love you because you first loved us. Bless our brother Mark as he comes, and Sister Alva, she plays the organ. And bless Gary tonight down in Belfast. Anoint him, bless him, and move in the people. And for Billy down there as well, pray you'll touch Billy. Pray you'll give him strength and grace. And you'll add to your work such as shall be saved. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you, sir.
Sing 305, the redemption. Under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. That's the thing, we can have life because of the rent veil. There's life available tonight. Amen. Matthew, have we got 305, Matthew? Matthew, 305.
Life, life, eternal life,
Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Leaving the mountain, the stream let grow, flooding the vale with a river. So from the hill of the cross there flows life more abundant forever. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever.
Well, listen, I'm going to read this. The computer went off there, but I want to read this again. In verse 4 it says, leaving the mountain, the streamlet grows. The top of the mountain, it's maybe only a wee stream, but as it continues on its journey, it grows and it gets stronger. And as it gets stronger, there's more power with it. And by the time it gets to the vale, it says flooding the vale with a river. You know, we start out in our Christian life, start out fresh, we get saved. But every day with Jesus is greater than the day before. It's going to sing verse 4 and 5 again. And this is the Christian life. You know, this hymn is really about the Christian life, and it's really a blessing. And it's life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Amen. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. We'll sing verse 4 and 5 again. The chorus, and then we'll ask our Lord John Kernan to close in a word of prayer. Amen.
Leaving the mountain, the stream let grow, flooding the vale with a river. So from the hill of the cross there flow life more abundant forever. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus. For the floods on the thirsty land, oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless band, ready to hear its arrival. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone.